Dr. Frederick Loomis tells about the most difficult delivery he ever made. He had literally delivered hundreds of babies before this day. A frail young lady came into the delivery room for the first time in her life. During the delivery, he realized that this baby is breached, that there were also some major deformities. He said for a split second he had a decision to make. He knew this was going to be a rough delivery. The life of this baby was in his hands, but he also realized that one foot came down to the knee of the other. A thigh was missing. And in that moment, he thought, this baby is going to come into this world with some deformities, into a cruel world. The world could be unkind to this baby, this child, this person. And this family is going to struggle with the difficulties of the deformity. And there he thought, I could delay this birth and the child could be stillborn. I could protect them from all of this. But in that moment, he said, as the one normal leg was coming forth to life into the world, he realized, I cannot play God. And instead, I will trust that God will care for this child against what seems to be impossible odds. So he delivered the baby into the world that he sensed would be unkind. In the years that followed, though, he was plagued by that decision. He second-guessed himself. He watched in anguish as this family with desperate parents sought in vain to find some correction for the child's deformity. Even after they moved away, Dr. Loomis continued to lament the burden that he had saddled upon the family. The heartache, he often said to himself, was his fault. In time, however, he would find peace. But it came at an unexpected time and place. Every Christmas was difficult for him as the world was celebrating the most significant birth ever. He still struggled, which for him was the most awful birth. But his peace and healing came at the hospital Christmas party. And at that party, the most beautiful music was played, and Silent Night played, and just washed away his anguish for the moment. Now, following the concert, a woman came to him and said, Doctor, you saw her. I'm sorry. He looked at her. Her face was familiar, but he couldn't quite place her. Should I know you? I know I should know you. He said, you delivered my baby 17 years ago, the one with one good leg, remember? How could he not? It was the one thing in his life he could never forget. That baby that you delivered is the one you just heard playing the beautiful harp music. She has an artificial leg and she's doing well. So at her mother's bidding, the young lady walked over and the doctor embraced her with tears in his eyes. Please, he said, as he wiped the tears from his eyes, would you please play Silent Night for me once again? And she returned to her harp and played his request with poise and perfection. And as she played, he looked back upon the previous 17 years. He reflected on the incredible gift of life. He thought about the sanctity in every person. And he exhaled 17 years of pain and agony and wondering for he knew God knew best. Well, on this day, we celebrate that every life is sacred, that every life has a connection with God. The Scriptures teach us in Genesis 1:27 about life. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Isaiah 44:24, this is what the Lord says, "Your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself." As we consider the Scriptures, that God forms us in the womb, let's look at that development. In the first month, the amniotic sac forms and helps cushion the growing embryo. The placenta also develops to transfer nutrients from the mother and waste transferred from the baby. A primitive face will take form with large dark circles for eyes. The mouth, lower jaw, and throat are developing. Blood cells are taking shape and circulation will begin. The tiny heart tube will beat 65 times a minute by the end of the fourth week. In the second month, facial features continue to develop. Each ear begins as a little fold of skin on the side of the head. Tiny buds that eventually grow into arms and legs are forming. Fingers, toes, and eyes are also forming. The neural tube, brain, spinal cord, and other neural tissue of the central nervous system is well formed. The digestive tract and sensory organs begin to develop. Bone starts to replace cartilage. At about 6 weeks, the baby's heartbeat can usually be detected. At 3 months, the arms, hands, fingers, feet, and toes are fully formed. The baby can open and close its fists and mouth. Fingernails and toenails are beginning to develop, and the external ears are formed. The beginnings of teeth are forming. By the end of the third month, the baby is fully formed. All the organs and extremities are present and will continue to mature in order to become functional. The circulatory and urinary systems are working. In the fourth month, the fingers and toes are well defined. Eyelids, eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, and hair are formed. Teeth and bones become denser. The baby can even suck his or her thumb, yawn, stretch, and make faces. The nervous system is starting to function. In the fifth month, you can feel the baby move since he or she is developing muscles and exercising them. In the sixth month, the baby's finger and toe prints are visible. The eyelids begin to part and the eyes open. A baby responds to sounds by moving or increasing the pulse. A mother might also feel jerking motions of the baby's hiccups. In the seventh month, the baby will continue to mature and develop reserves of body fat. A baby's hearing is fully developed. He or she changes position frequently and responds to stimuli, including sound, pain, and light. The amniotic fluid begins to diminish. In the eighth month, a baby may start kicking more. The brain is developing rapidly at this time, and a baby can see and hear. Most internal systems are well developed. In the ninth month, the baby continues to grow and mature. The lungs are nearly fully developed. Reflexes are coordinated so he or she can blink, close the eyes, turn the head, grasp firmly, and responds to sounds, light, and touch. Baby is definitely ready to enter the world. Now, why do we consider life sacred, and that life begins in the womb? Why do we take this position? Because the Bible, which is our source for absolute truth and nothing but the truth, describes that God as our creator of life, that God forms us in the womb. And there have been thousands who have left, doctors, nurses, practitioners, office workers who have left the abortion industry with the implementation of new tools such as ultrasounds and especially 4D ultrasounds that have revealed life in the womb and a life that responds to pain. And many who don't even claim the scriptures as God-breathed or absolute truth have come to that conclusion through technologies. They're catching up with what the Bible has already told us. If we are the only ones in believing the Word of God as truth, we will stand for life. Abortion is perhaps America's most grievous sin. When the nation of Israel drifted from God's law, one of the worst indicators of their spiritual decadence was the sacrifice of newborn children to Baal. We're talking God's people, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, who turned their backs on God and they sacrificed their children. Jeremiah 19, because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it even come into the mind of God to even comprehend such an act. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no more be called Topheth or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And in this place I will make void the plans of Judah and Jerusalem and will cause their people to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. I will give their dead bodies for food to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth. A nation that does not protect innocent babies is a nation that is morally bankrupt and on the verge of God's judgment. That's why a political candidate's position on abortion needs to be our number one issue when we go to the polls. If you see nothing wrong with killing a baby in the mother's womb, you have a seared conscience. God's amazing grace can forgive any sin, and He has been incredibly patient with us as a nation. But calling abortion a constitutional right or a woman's right to choose are pathetic euphemisms for infanticide. Proverbs 24:11-12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we do not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Now God has entrusted us with the most outstanding nation in history of the world. The freedom, technology, and wealth of the United States has been an instrument for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. As believers, we cannot have a cavalier attitude towards the moral free fall that threatens the future of our nation. As believers, we can't retreat from speaking truth for the sake of being accepted by the world. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So you have to make a decision. Am I going to be a friend of the world or a friend of God? Am I going to put my trust in the world? Am I going to support the world? Or am I going to put my faith and trust in the Almighty God? If no one else will, the church must speak truth and speak truth in love. And we will be hated. And as we stand for truth, we will go forward in God's grace. Now perhaps in our worships today. There is someone who has had an abortion. Let me give you the truth of the Scriptures. God loves you more than you can even imagine. And He loves that baby that was aborted more than you can even imagine. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto Me." And yes, He was speaking to the children in the crowd. But He loves every child. And He has taken that child to be in His arms. And for you, if you have confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've turned from sin, you've been buried. Romans 6 describes baptism as a burial. Acts 2 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It has been erased. Every sin has been erased in the eyes of God as if it never happened. Now I know the pain is there. And maybe you still feel guilt. He wants to heal you of your guilt and of the pain. He wants to take that away because He is already forgiven and forgotten and it's gone. Erased. God takes every sin. And yes, we can put up the sin of abortion, but we can replace that with any other sin. Gossip. Lying. Stealing. Bitterness, hatred, and on the list goes. And He forgives, erases it. And the debt of sin is paid in full. In 1989, Norma McCorvey, she is the Roe and the Roe versus Wade. She is the one that was used by the attorneys to legalize abortion. And she came out in 1989 and the abortion industry brought her in and they made a movie for television and she became a spokesperson and she was working in an abortion clinic in Texas until her life changed forever through the love and grace of Christian people who were working in a rescue mission next door. They weren't condemning. They weren't holding up signs, blasting the clinic, the abortion clinic. They weren't spewing hate, but they were there to love and to show grace. And Norma was so moved by a little girl who was there with her parents. And when she got to know the people, they extended her love and grace. And they embraced her, she embraced them, and through Christ she received forgiveness. And she left that industry and became an advocate for life. Just as hundreds have left the industry. Thousands have left the industry. When they've come to the knowledge of the truth. And believers in Christ have been making an impact throughout the world by opening centers, rescue missions, pregnancy resource centers, and have been made huge strides to save women and children. Pro-life lawmakers have passed a tidal wave of pro-life legislation in the last couple of years. All because of people who love Jesus and understand His grace and love have extended grace and love to those who are hurting and broken and those who are struggling with a tough decision. Lee Strobel tells about a young woman who came forward at an invitation service. And in that invitation service, they put up a cross on the stage. And they put out little pieces of paper and called folks to come forward. If they wanted to surrender their lives to Christ, they could take that piece of paper and write down a sin or a few sins that they have really been struggling with. They certainly couldn't list them all, but there's something that you've been battling with day and night, that you've been just agony after agony. Come and write that sin and place it on the cross as symbolic that Jesus takes our sins and He nails them to the cross. And after that Sunday, they received a letter from a young woman who said, "That was the scariest time in my life. That day that I went forward, I wanted to run out of the building, I was so afraid. But I went forward and I took a piece of paper and I wrote abortion on there so small that nobody could see it. I was afraid somebody would see it. So I wrote it really small and I put it on the cross and I went over to the preacher. And I just had this fear he was going to call me out. He was going to call out my sin. But instead, God through him showed me grace and love. And on that morning, he took me into the waters of baptism and there I was buried with Christ. Every sin, all the guilt, was all erased. And I came up out of that water a new person, and I want you to know it has changed my outlook. It has changed my life. I can go forward with confidence, and the guilt and the shame is gone because of a God of grace. Heavenly Father, forgive us as a nation. In many ways, we have turned our back on you. We've shoved the Bible out of the way. Man has called good evil and evil good. But as your people, we trust and know your word is absolute, final truth. And nothing but the truth. And truth cannot be changed. You can't change truth. Truth is truth. You can't change the facts. And so we will stand for truth and we will speak truth in love. We will speak truth with grace. We will stand for truth in any and every way possible, covered by love and grace. Father, now as we enter into a time of decision, we acknowledge we are all sinners in various ways, and we all carry guilt of our sins and our past. You want to not just take away the sin, you want to take away the guilt. And so, Father, I pray that if there's one here today that needs to step out and to name Jesus as Lord, confessing His name, being buried in baptism, buried with Christ, raised with Christ into a new light-filled world. I pray, Father, you'd give courage. If one needs to recommit, I pray that they would step out. Or if there are any special prayer needs that we need to cover, I pray that you'd be at work during this time of decision. In Jesus' name, amen.